KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay. KFPS, 88.1 FM in False Pass. And KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sidkenap to Castle Cape, small craft advisory through Thursday. Today, northwest winds 25 knots, seas 4 feet with freezing spray. Tonight, northwest winds 25 knots, seas 4 feet. And Thursday, northwest winds 30 knots, seas 5 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, small craft advisory Thursday. Today, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 2 feet with freezing spray. Tonight, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 2 feet with freezing spray. And Thursday, northwest winds 30 knots, seas 4 feet with freezing spray. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory Thursday. Today, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 2 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 3 feet with freezing spray. And Thursday, northwest winds 30 knots, seas 4 feet with freezing spray. Port Hyde and Nelson Lagoon, small craft advisory Thursday. Today, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet with freezing spray. And Thursday, northwest winds 25 knots, seas 8 feet with freezing spray. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory Thursday. Today, north winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Tonight, northwest winds 15 knots, seas 4 feet. And Thursday, northwest winds 25 knots, seas 8 feet with freezing spray. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, partly sunny with isolated snow showers. Highs in the upper 20s. Northwest winds 15 miles per hour with gusts to 30. Tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered snow showers. Areas of blowing snow, lows in the 20s, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 35. And Thursday, areas of blowing snow in the morning, partly sunny with scattered snow showers, highs around 30, northwest winds 15 to 30 miles per hour with gusts to 45. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a high tide at 1:34 a.m. at 5 foot 7 inches. A low tide at 6:55 a.m. at 2 feet 7 inches. A high tide at 12:46 p.m. at 6 feet 7 inches. And a low this evening at 7:32, a minus tide of 3 inches. Your sun rose at 8:27 this morning, and your sun will set at 9:08, giving us 12 hours and 42 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Coming up on KUCB News, the driver in a fatal Unalaska car crash case faces trial today. And Alaska's seafood industry is urging the federal government to act amid new market woes. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by GCI. Fiber Plus Internet is now available in Unalaska. GCI now offers high-speed internet in your community at the same plans and same pricing as Anchorage. More information at gci.com/internet.
Good afternoon and thanks for joining us. It's Wednesday, March 26th, 2025. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk, with some local news from Unalaska. The trial began today in Anchorage for a young man facing felony charges in a fatal Unalaska car crash case. Dustin Ruckman is charged with two counts of criminally negligent homicide for his involvement in the 2019 crash on Mount Ballyhoo. He was 18 at the time of the incident and was driving the truck that eventually plummeted about 900 feet down the side of the cliff. Two teenage girls were inside and died in the fall. Kiara R. Haste, and Carly McDonald. Superior Court Judge Thomas Matthews, as well as lawyers representing the state and Ruckman, were on island earlier this month. They failed to find enough unbiased local jurors, so the trial was moved to Anchorage, where jury selection began on Monday. Now, over the next couple of weeks, the jury will hear testimony and evidence to ultimately decide if Ruckman is guilty of the charges. KUCB's Sophia Stewart Rossi sat down with our reporter Maggie Nelson to hear more about what's happened with this case over the last 6 years.
Okay, so you've been covering this case for several years. Seems like a lot has happened during that time. Maybe you can start from the beginning. What do we know about this incident and what happened on Ballyhoo that day?
Yeah, so in early May of 2019, three high schoolers drove up Mount Ballyhoo. Kiara R. Haste, Carly McDonald, and Dustin Ruckman. You can't drive up there anymore, but at the time you could access the top with a vehicle. And it's not known exactly what happened, but the truck fell off the side of the mountain, the Yalactahead cliffside that faces north out towards the Bering Sea. The two girls were inside the truck when it fell, and they died in the crash. McDonald was 16 and Haste was 18. It was an enormous blow to the community. You know, everyone is affected when someone dies. It's a small island, but when it's kids, when it's teens dying in such a horrific way, you know, it just absolutely stunned the community. So with the help from FBI officials, local police did toxicology tests. They collected all kinds of physical evidence, things like interviews as well from friends and family. Ultimately, drugs and alcohol weren't alleged to be involved. The FBI's involvement was one of the original reasons the case took some extra time. The case was eventually handed over to the state, who originally indicted Ruckman on 2 counts of manslaughter, 2 counts of criminally negligent homicide, and 1 count of reckless driving. Ruckman pleaded not guilty to those charges. That was in June of 2020.
And that's just really the beginning, right? I mean, this case still has yet to go to trial, and there's been some bumps, so to speak, along the way.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, this happened about a year before the COVID-19 pandemic slowed things down significantly. Hearings were reset or vacated during that time. And on top of that, Ruckman's original lawyer was undergoing some pretty serious cancer treatment. Really not much major progress was made until 2022. Eventually, a trial date was set for the late summer of 2023. But this was kind of the first of several false starts. As jury selection neared, the previous judge recused himself from the case. Ruckman had gotten a new lawyer who was a longtime friend of that judge, so that created some more delays as the new defense lawyer caught up with the case and the current judge, Thomas Matthews, took over. Things get squared away more or less, and a new trial date is put back on the schedule, set for summer of 2024.
Okay, so it's been like 5 years at this point since the incident, but a trial is set to happen. Things are moving?
Well, yeah, so it would seem. But this is kind of where things really start to unravel. As they're preparing to start jury selection, the state prosecutor told the court that the local police department had found a drawer of materials that hadn't been submitted. A lot of that material was just duplicates of other stuff, but the court needed time to look over everything and make sure there wasn't anything new that could affect the case. So jury selection gets pushed back again. But as the date is approaching, it gets postponed because the court agrees to dismiss the charges against Ruckman. His defense argues that the state's former expert testimony exceeded the scope of his expertise, and the state eventually agreed to dismiss the charges. But it doesn't just end there. The case is sent back to a grand jury, and Ruckman is reindicted, this time with fewer charges. They're all dropped except for the counts of criminally negligent homicide. So now he is just facing 2 Class B felony charges.
That was KUCB's Sophia Stewart Rossi and Maggie Nelson discussing the long-awaited case involving a fatal 2019 car crash on Unalaska's Mount Ballyhoo. The trial is being live-streamed on the Alaska Courts website. That's stream.akcourts.gov. The Alaska seafood industry says it's getting crushed by unfair trade, and tariffs are part of the problem. The Alaska Desk's Theo Greenlee reports that industry groups are urging the federal government to push back against international competition they say doesn't play by the rules.
2 major Alaska seafood trade groups are sounding the alarm. The At Sea Processors Association and Pacific Seafood Processors Association earlier this month sent a letter to the Trump administration warning against hardline trade policies. They say new tariffs could trigger retaliation. The At Sea Processors Association represents most of the vessels that catch and process pollock in the Bering Sea. CEO Matt Tinning says all of these disputes threaten Alaska seafood, which is already at a disadvantage.
We also face unfair competition in global markets, unfair competition from low-cost producers who aren't held to appropriate labor and environmental standards. In the seafood space, the worst offender is Russia.
Russian seafood has flooded markets in recent years. And while the Biden administration closed a loophole that allowed Russian fish into the U.S. market, American producers are still struggling to compete overseas. Existing tariffs are part of that struggle. Alaska seafood was hit pretty hard during the 2018 trade war with China, which still has tariffs in place on U.S. seafood. And earlier this month, China announced an additional 10% tariff in response to the new tariffs Trump imposed days before. The European Union, one of Alaska's biggest export markets, also continues to impose tariffs from the last trade war, even as their own products enter the U.S. duty-free. In their letter, the two Alaska trade groups warn about further retaliation. Tinning says they aren't necessarily opposed to reciprocal tariffs, but the industry is particularly fragile, exporting about two-thirds of what it produces, so they're vulnerable to trade tensions.
And so we really do live and die by fair access to those export markets.
The trade groups also raised concerns about labeling rules in the European Union, where Russian-caught pollock is sometimes sold as Alaska pollock, even if it was caught and processed entirely outside the U.S. They say the combination of foreign tariffs, labeling confusion, and global overproduction could push the already struggling sector to the brink, especially if retaliatory tariffs from countries like China or Canada once again target U.S. seafood. In Unalaska, I'm Theo Greenlee.
Alaska already imports most of its food, but for many tribes in rural areas, cuts to federal grants and staff by the Trump administration could make food security even tougher. As the Alaska Desk's Alona Nyden reports, that includes communities from Cook Inlet to Northwest Alaska.
Spring is a busy time at Tayonic Grown, a community farm located on the west side of the Cook Inlet. Local students come to plant seeds, water them, and then harvest organic fruits and vegetables. This summer, the farm managers had even bigger plans. They wanted to set up a community food forest that would include indigenous plants and fruit trees. But the forest and many more of Tayonic Grown plans are now up in the air because of cuts to federal staff and funding. That's according to Lori Stewart, the executive director of Tayonic Tribal Conservation District that manages the farm.
The loss of those funds in the coming years is going to have a big impact on the growth that we were building.
In Alaska, nearly all produce is imported, which makes the food supply vulnerable, especially in rural areas. Some support to local producers comes from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The department is among many agencies that cut programs and staff in response to Trump's executive orders. In recent weeks, the agency reinstated some of its employees, but then put them on administrative leave. This is the case for Amanda Compton, who lives in Palmer and works in the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service. The program helps landowners, in Alaska mainly tribes, sustainably manage their natural resources. They helped villages set up fish passages, reindeer farms, and community gardens. That is, until the layoffs and disruptions, Compton says.
We lost our entire team of people that are working to get native communities greenhouses. Our team that's getting the native entities fish passages. We lost our entire team that communicates between the engineers and tribal entities.
Tayonic, an off-road community of about 300 people, is located about 40 miles southwest of Anchorage as the crow flies. Produce needs to be flown in, and fruits and vegetables grown at the Tayonic farm give locals a rare chance to enjoy affordable fresh food. The USDA's Forest Service in December awarded $900,000 to the conservation district operating the farm. Stewart with the district says the grant was meant to grow their team and set up a community food forest. The forest would promote food sovereignty and traditional ecological knowledge, but the department terminated the award in an effort to comply with Trump's objectives.
There's a lot of caution going into the summer, so even if we were to find that no funding was impacted, right now we're making decisions as if it might be, and so therefore the season will be impacted.
Dionic worked with tribal liaisons like Compton and her team, who helped them navigate the grant opportunities. The conservation district staff also doesn't know if they will have engineers to assist them in building fish passages this summer. Meanwhile, about 500 miles northwest, around Nome, reindeer herders are asking similar questions. Nathan Baring works for the Reindeer Herding Association, and he says tribal liaisons used to help herders apply for grants and establish rotational grazing plans. The Trump administration also halted a USDA grant meant to support indigenous peoples' animal harvests and help communities expand their meat processing.
Having all of that kind of just thrown either into the air or outright eliminated just simply means that we start over in terms of shopping those projects around again, which then further delays what I would describe as Alaska's untapped potential in a pre-existing livestock industry that is both culturally tied and has incredible potential.
For herders like Bonnie Suanya Shiel, interruptions in federal programs mean that it's harder to find funds to build temporary housing for workers and corrals for holding animals. Despite the challenges, Shiel believes the herders will figure out a way to continue the practice, even if it means providing food for just their village instead of expanding their operations.
It's going to come back around. We're still here. We're still herding reindeer. We're still providing for communities.
While some of the USDA employees in Alaska were reinstated, many have not received an official notice to go back to work as of Tuesday. Several USDA grants remained frozen or terminated. In Anchorage, I am Alona Naiden.
Here's a look at what's happening in Unalaska this week. UCSD parent-teacher conferences will take place today and tomorrow. Check out KUCB's community calendar for more info on when your conference will take place. The Unalaska Teen Council is hosting Mini Madness tomorrow afternoon from 1 to 5 o'clock at the Community Center. Participants will enjoy a variety of games, snacks, and the chance to win prizes. Kids in grades 1 through 5 are invited. The Museum of the Aleutians is hosting its monthly trivia night tomorrow evening at 6:30 at the Norwegian Rat Saloon. This free event involves 5 rounds of pub trivia and a raffle. USAFE's annual Soup Off is coming up on Saturday, and we'll have some more info on that for you during tomorrow's newscast. A Youth Swim League meet takes place Saturday morning at the Aquatic Center, starting at 10. The Unalaska Teen Council is hosting a Midnight Madness event at the Community Center Saturday evening. That runs from 8 to midnight. Teens in grades 6 through 12 are invited to take part in games, crafts, food, and fun for only $7. For more information on these events and everything else coming up, check out your community calendar at kucb.org. Be sure to tune in Fridays at noon and 5 right here at KUCB for a new episode of the Bering Sea Barometer. Reel in the real-life experiences of fishing the Bering Sea with your host, Captain Pete Nathan. Be sure to check out our other new series, too. It's called Amplifying the Aleutians. We interview longtime Channel 8 TV and KUCB alums for a glimpse into the history of the station and, by extension, Unalaska itself. Find all episodes of both shows on our website and on Spotify. That's the news from Unalaska. This is KUCB 89.7 FM. I'm your host, Andy Lusk. For more local coverage and community events, check out our website at kucb.org. Stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts. Take care.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an environmental assistant. The Shimmigan Corporation is hiring a bartender. The Palof Harbor Tribe is looking for a tribal environmental coordinator. EATS is hiring a behavioral health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They are also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for False Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. Today is March 26, 2025. Happy birthday to Lynette Mack. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
KSDP is generously supported by Precision Airways in Sandpoint, Alaska, offering chartered air services throughout the Aleutians Eastboro and beyond. For more information on charters and prices, Theo is available at 907-989-4080. Precision Airways is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Fake it, boy. At an early age, he hits the Junior's grades.
Smash!
Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Webb and Gilly and the spiders from Mars. He played it left hand, but made it too far. Became the special man, then we were Ziggy's band. Ziggy really sang screwed up eyes and screwed down hairdo, like some cat from Japan. He could lick 'em by smiling, he could leave 'em to hang. Became on so loaded, man, well hung in snow white tan. Time jiving us that we were voodoo. The kids were just crass, he was the nass with God-given ass. He took it all too far, but boy could he play guitar. Making love with his ego, we'll be right back.
4 a.m. Monday through Friday for Democracy Now! Democracy Now! Is a national, daily, independent, award-winning news program airing on over 225 stations in North America. The program is hosted by award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez and produced out of the Downtown Community Television Center, a community media center in New York City's Chinatown.
isn't it a shame? How we break each other's hearts, cause each other pain. How we take each other's love. Without thinking anymore, forgetting